Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with Phil Ayers, founder of Consected, which provides process improvement solutions with the company's own SaaS workflow product. Phil has 14 years of experience in BPM and ECM, and today we're going to talk about Phil's real-world lessons learned in a BPM installation. Now, first of all, thank you so much for joining me today, Phil.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
So what are the most common mistakes companies make when running a BPM project?
Well, I think there are several I can think of. I think that the first is that the business analysts and BPM consultants rarely work together early enough in the project. I think many companies, they're always wanting to get a head start in their process improvement project, and they start the design of their 2B processes before a BPM tool has ever really been selected. And I think the issue there is that the output from the business analyst rarely sort of reflects the strengths of the tool eventually selected, or it doesn't even drive the selection of that tool in the first place. I think a second common mistake I've seen is the requirement from customers always to try and integrate all of the company's back-end systems into a new process solution in the first release. And really, before I get attacked for this, I know that rekeying of information and that so-called swivel chair integration always leads to errors. You know, typing in new information again always leads to errors in data entry. But they're really not new errors to the process. And so trying to get everything clean and correct first time round, especially with the risk of integration, that adds a lot of complexity to projects. And at least in my experience, trying to do integration first time round often leads to the failure of a project. And I'd say that then the final mistake I see is the depth or granularity that people go to when designing a new 2B process. So if you put Visio or some other process modeling tool in front of a business analyst and watch what they do, they really start designing their processes to a real depth and granularity that actually makes the model you see quite meaningless. I always like to aim for a process model that is less than 20 steps in the first release, something simple, plain, a straight line. And we often see that these are the most successful processes to be implemented because they're simple and they actually reduce the overall time for a process to complete.
So classic keeping it simple. Now, did you find having previous BPM experience critical to a successful implementation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think on the implementations I've worked on, the best consultants have always shown obvious experience. Their art almost was that they could weave stories around the best practices that they'd seen from their past experience, which helped clients to make the best decisions. And it's often, I'd say, the depth of this background knowledge that can prevent a project from going off the rails, sometimes without the client ever really realizing it. On the flip side of that, I think there's no amount of technical or process experience that can be just a substitute for being able to form good relationships with stakeholders and the eventual end users. And although that said, it will be hard for consultants to form these relationships necessarily without the credibility of their experience to back them up. And, you know, process improvement, independent of a BPM product, is not about doing things that have never been done before. They've just never been done in the organization that you're currently working in. And it's experience that helps bridge that gap.
Very interesting. Now, I imagine this would change with the size of the job, but what is the typical time frame in a BPM installation?
I think that the standard answer to that one from the sales executive in selling a BPM product is typically, we'll have something for you in 12 weeks. My answer is that in any project that involves software, the time frame, the time available is never enough. And I look at it like this, really, that implementing a BPM solution is much like the skiing or snowboarding events we've just recently seen at the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. The gold medals went to the competitor that took the smoothest line down the hill, not the one that had to take the most risks to get there. And so really, again, it's like you say, going back to the keep it simple approach, the one thing that I always tell a customer that's never implemented BPM before is this. You really don't know how a solution is going to change the way you work until you try it in practice. So really you should aim to implement something small, get some success so you can learn from the experience. And that way you don't really end up wasting a lot of time on those must-have features at the start of a project that end up contributing nothing to the business. So in that way, you can really keep the time frames compressed, the time from projects realistic.
So success building on success. I kind of believe that's true in almost any aspect of life. Now, what can BPM do to make it easier for companies to get started in process improvement?
I think us BPM people have a lot of responsibility in that regard. I think we need to use less jargon. We need to really use less terminology that's only relevant to our chosen tool, that really only satisfies the marketing or the tech people. If the language used matches that of the business, everybody can communicate better and faster. And as we all know, then projects will move along a lot easier. I think we also need to look at it from the point of view of the tools as well. And the tools, the BPM tools, need to incorporate more useful best practices. For example, they need more out-of-the-box proven configurations covering the common ways that people work. And they also need to incorporate more from a user interface or front-end standpoint as well to guide how people capture information or documents, the data that is key to the process. It's all about sort of building structure into the tools that allow a business analyst or a BPM consultant to worry more about the valuable high-level process and how that performs than the details of every little operation that a user's going to perform. And I think in that way, BPM, both from a people and a technology standpoint, can make it easier for companies to get started.
Good to know. Now, what with your various installations, what is the number one key lesson that you've learned?
The number one key lesson. I think it's very simple. Business value is the only reason that customers are implementing BPM. As a vendor, a consultant, or even a customer stakeholder, as long as you keep that business value thing in mind at all times, you really can't go wrong in your project. Now, I know that sometimes IT and technical stuff seems all important. The reality is that a BPM technology is just an enabler for business process improvement. It's just the production line that keeps work moving along in your department. So it doesn't matter how you measure it. A successful BPM project is really only successful if the customer looks at it and sees value, be that a hard cash return on investment, maybe a 50% increase in customers opening new accounts, or improving customer services ratings by 70%. Whatever, it's business value is everything.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, what do you see for the future trends of BPM?
I think this is a tough one. I think BPM is going to head down three parallel paths. I see one variation where the BPM tools are going to become more developer-oriented. And I think this is, as offerings move into the cloud, we're going to see this a little more. So in my opinion, Salesforce.com and Microsoft are going to drive this, since they've always built their successes on the fact that some companies just prefer to build business solutions using software development style tools. A second variation on BPM, I think we'll see BPM fall into the enterprise technology stack as IBM and Oracle are going to start to work out what to do with all these new BPM assets they own. I think BPM is going to become part of the overall enterprise architecture in every deal and every large system we see. And I think in doing so, we'll probably see that also the powerful modeling, simulation, and optimization tools that have got so much press, they're going to end up there as well, because the consulting services arms of the stack vendors are going to build lucrative center of excellence around them. I think my final point is where I'm placing my bet personally, that customer demand is going to continue to grow for faster implementations of process solutions that deliver that all-important business value. And for this, I believe we're going to see a more BPM market share going to software as a service offerings. And I believe that the most successful SaaS offerings are going to be the ones that are designed to provide effective solutions through building block configurations rather than trying to force fit traditional BPM software and modeling tools into a hosted environment. So as I say, this is where I'm placing my bet with the offerings that can deliver an initial process solution in days, not months, and allow customers to see business value faster.
Excellent information. This is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with Phil Ayers of Consected. I also want to remind listeners that Phil also has a feature article coming out that also covers real-world BPM usage, an excellent read. So, Phil, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
This has been an eBizQ podcast.